7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
It's a circus here. Give me a break. Folks, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show every Saturday, 1 to 5, here in the studio with Tim the Tool. Please pray for me. I'm sure this next guest has never been introduced with this song before. This is quite original. On June 15, 2012, Nick Wallenda made history by being the first person to walk across Niagara Falls on a high wire. The walk set television rating history in both the United States and Canada, aired on live television all over the world, and was in virtually every newspaper worldwide, seen by hundreds of millions of people. Count 'em, as Johnny Carson used to say. His inspirational message, Never Give Up, has resonated with viewers around the globe, and today Nick shares some very timely encouragement. Because the reality, folks, is that not everyone is looking forward to Christmas this year. NickWallenda.com is the website. Two L's, Wallenda. Nick Wallenda. Oh, by the way, it's N-I-K. Nick, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being so nice to Canada throughout your life. You've done a lot of stuff up in this great country.
I have, and Canada's been nice to me, too. And I always like to give back to those who are nice to me, and even to those who are not nice to me in all and every day. Or not every day, but often.
You're like a walking Hallmark card. You're so nice. Listen, the first thing I got to know, Nick, is tell me about the pole. Because to me, I've been studying your moves, man. I've been looking at how you do it and whether, you know, everyone looks at you and go, I could do that. I could do that. Tell me about the pole. If you didn't have the pole, would you die?
I would not, depending on the situation. I mean, I can jump rope on a wire, and there's no way to hold the pole while you're jump roping.
Ooh, good point.
So, no, there's many different things that I do without a balancing pole as well. However, for longer walks, like the Niagara one, for example, there's so much movement in that cable that, yes, you need the pole. The pole kind of acts as an extension of your arms and helps you maintain your balance.
Okay.
But I can tell you this, one out of every 40 to 50 people are able to make it across the wire with a balancing pole. The other 45 or 49, it takes about it takes them about a week to learn how to walk with a balancing pole.
Wow!
Just to get across that low wire, about 2 feet off the ground and about 15 feet long.
You know who I was impressed with was Elizabeth Hasselbeck. The way she went across the wire from the view there, that was pretty good.
She did, yeah, yep, she did. She did a great job.
I know the other ladies weren't impressed with the wind and the rain. It was ruining their hair, you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Whoopi definitely wasn't thrilled.
No. So, you know, one thing I've always wanted to talk to you about, guys like you, you know, you're Mr. Motivational, and you drop the platitudes like reach for the sky and dream big, and you can do anything you set your mind to, if you set your mind to it, that kind of stuff. Is there a limit to that? Like, for example, I've got a son who's 6'5", who always wanted to be a helicopter pilot, and he just don't fit in helicopters. And
you know what? There's always a way to make a bigger helicopter, isn't there?
Oh,
if
listen.
There's a will, there's a way.
Man, you are just a glasses half full kind of guy. So, but do you ever, tell me about the darkest time in your life, because I know you're Mr. Positive, and you're, you know, everything's roses in your life, but there's got to be a time in your life where it was just dark.
You know, I would say the major turning point in my life was when I was about 13 and my parents were going through bankruptcy. And you would never think that a 13-year-old would take that on, but emotionally it tore me up and ripped me to pieces.
Really?
And our family history, it goes back to the 1780s, and our company's been around for over 200 years, and, you know, everything sounds great. But the truth is, you know, our family has struggled financially to make a living at what they did. I remember being 13 years old, and that was probably the darkest point in my life, going, wow, you know, here, and for many reasons. One being that I loved walking the wire, started walking the wire too, and I wanted to carry this on, but I thought, there's no future in it. How am I going to make a living if my parents are going bankrupt doing what I want to do for a living? Obviously, there's not a living here. And I remember that was kind of a turning point in my life, and I realized that God was my provider more than anything. And at that point, God spoke to me and said, I'll bless you beyond belief, just trust in me. And that scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight or fill the desires of your heart. That's something that I live by, not always understanding what's going on, but always trusting in him.
Okay, so you're saying that God talked to you at 13. You know, I'm just a jerk. I really am. And I ask, when people say that sort of thing to me, I ask them questions like, what did God sound like? Did he? Because if he sounded like Don Knotts, that can't be God. He has to sound like Darth Vader, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that it's different to everybody. I think it's more of a feeling in your heart than anything, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm bitter about that, because I really haven't had any moments like that throughout my life. And I listen to your story and I think, man, first of all, to have the family history that you have, let alone to have this family history who are all, you know, laying their lives down to God, is that's a cool thing. I mean, that's a great legacy to have, man. But boy, did you ever feel like the responsibility to save your family, to be a savior in a sense?
Absolutely. I mean, at that 13 years old, I thought, you know, I was deciding what in the world's going on. It was obviously turning into a teenager and dealing with all of that emotion as well. And at 18, we were invited. My uncle Tino called me up and he said, you know, we've been invited to go to Detroit, Michigan to perform the seven-person pyramid. And we to recreate it. And I'll tell you a little background. In 1962, my family was performing the seven-person pyramid in Detroit, Michigan at the State Fair Coliseum, and the pyramid collapsed, and two of my family members were killed, and my uncle was paralyzed from the waist down. And when we were asked to go back, again, I was 18, and I thought, absolutely, I want to go back. But it was at a point in my life where I was deciding whether I wanted to go to college or carry on the family legacy. And to be honest, I had every intention of going to college to become a pediatrician. And I studied hard through high school, and I was preparing, and I said, well, I will take the first semester off, and I will train. We'll go do the seven-person pyramid. That'll be the last of my career, and I'll move on and become a pediatrician and live a normal life. And I remember showing up in Detroit, and we performed in the same arena, in the same show, same rigging, the same wire, the same exactly where they fell.
Wow.
And I remember, I get goosebumps thinking about it, but I remember being on every show you could imagine, from Entertainment Tonight to Hard Copy to Japanese TV to German TV. Everybody was there doing documentaries. TLC followed us around to do a documentary. And I remember seeing all that attention and saying, if we can get this much attention to do something, carrying on a legacy, it's clear that our family is just doing this in the wrong direction. They're going in the wrong direction. That's why they're not able to make a great living. And that's where I decided that I was going to take it on. But I wasn't just going to carry on the legacy. I was going to carry up the legacy. And I was going to take it up a notch and turn up the level. And, and that was when I, within 3 years, in 2001, that was my decision to carry on the legacy. Mm-hmm. And within 3 years, I brought my family to Japan. And I was 21. I was in charge of about 22 people. And we broke the world record for the eight-person pyramid in Japan. During a three-month run in Japan, my first contract that I ever signed on my own outside of the family. The rest is kind of history. Since then, you know, broke six more world records. And, you know, it's funny you played circus music in the beginning, but that was one of the big changes was I wanted to make circus cool and take it to the next level and take it into the TV world. And that was always my dream. And since then I have. And I haven't actually performed in the circus since 2008. It's really about big events and, making a big splash, whether it be hanging by my jaw at 280 feet under a helicopter or walking across Niagara Falls. Next June I'll be the first person in the world to walk across the Grand Canyon live on worldwide TV. And there's many, many more. I'm working on permits right now to be the first person in the world to walk from one continent to another, from Europe to Asia. That's the way my mind works, and I'm always thinking of the next thing. Okay, this one, even though the Grand Canyon in the planning stages, I'm already filming actually for that special. Even though that's happening, I'm permitting on for the next one right now.
Amazing. Now, speaking of the Grand Canyon, Evel Knievel, really, do we not, is this, you are here at the right time, man. We are missing a hero like Evel Knievel, and you're the new dude.
Well, you know, I've been referred to as the Evel Knievel of the tightrope, which is an honor, obviously. My great-grandfather and Evel were best friends, believe it or not, and very close with each other. And, you know, it is time for that. It's time for somebody that's inspirational, that children can actually look up to,
yep.
That there's an actual role model. And I've been very blessed with a very unique talent. And I love every minute of what I do, and I love the fact that I have three beautiful children, a beautiful wife, and I'm honorable to them and respectful to them and a role model, somebody that people can look up to. But I don't have faults. I make mistakes, and I say things that I shouldn't, and, you know, I'm human.
Yeah.
We all are created equal, but... But really, I really try to maintain positive and a positive attitude.
I know that Evil was friends with Frank Gifford, who's told me that Evil, although, you know, he was in it wasn't the shiniest of spiritual walks that he had, but Evil did indeed have a relationship with God, especially as later in his years.
Absolutely, towards the end, very much so.
Yeah.
I believe he spoke at Robert Schuller's church within a month before he passed away. But he definitely did have a very one of my close friends was a very close friend, admirer of his, and kind of followed him around. And he definitely gained a relationship with Christ before he passed.
So are you like the new Carl of the family? Are you the sort of you're not the oldest,
I'm not the oldest, and you know, that's a challenge too, you know, because the family looks at us, who's this young punk coming in and taking over?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I think I'm the one that has the most mindset like he did. He liked to do big events, and you know, that's what I enjoy doing. I enjoy inspiring. I enjoy motivating. And I enjoy doing things that people look at that would say, normal people would say is impossible. Although you say everybody says they want to walk across Niagara Falls because they have a balancing pole. But, you know, I'm trying to do things that are very unique. And I have some events that I'm working on now in the planning stages that will, my dream is always to blow people away like David Blaine and David Copperfield and, who are friends of mine, by the way, Robbie Knievel, Robbie Madison. I want those guys to say, holy cow, that guy is amazing. And so I'm working on some stuff that hopefully will make that happen.
Very cool. Family been acrobats and daredevils for over 200 years, seven generations of flying Willendas. Mom was 6 months pregnant with you and walked the wire and still walks the wire with you today. By the way, your mom has the coolest name, Delilah Willenda.
Yes.
That's the best stage name ever, ever.
Interesting story, but my grandmother was in The Greatest Show on Earth, which was filmed by Cecil B. DeMille. And he was getting ready to film his next movie, and that's why my mom was named Delilah, because Samson and Delilah.
Very cool. 6 years old, you said, I want to be the first person to walk over Niagara Falls when you're visiting Niagara Falls. 33 years old, you did it. What if your kids, Nick, what if your kids say, I want to get in a rocket and shoot myself across Snake River Canyon?
You know, they have my blessing in whatever they want to do. However, I encourage them to study strongly. And focus on school at this point in their life. The oldest is only 14, my youngest is 9. And once they graduate from high school, they'll have to make the decision that I made, whether they want to carry on the family history or not. And
yeah.
To be honest, I'm shunned upon because I encourage them to not carry on the family legacy. Who wants to see their children do what I do? I feel bad for my parents daily for having to see what I do.
Yeah, seriously. Well, seven Willendas, am I right? Seven Willendas have lost their lives to the family business?
That is correct.
So I was chatting about this with my friend last night, and you know, the subject of, and I know you've got to hate this question, especially when you're getting interviewed by the Jesus media, testing God, you know, or the whole you know, like in football games, you know, the Tebow thing, or the teams that kneel down and pray before each game, and each team prays to win, and blah blah blah, testing God. Like, does that drive you nuts when you get asked about that stuff?
You know, I mean, the answer, I think, is simple. Testing God is walking in the middle of I-75 or an interstate and saying, well, let's see if I get hit or not. If you're real God, this car won't hit me. These 300 cars coming at me won't hit me.
Yeah.
I do is very, very systematic. It's very, very scientific. Studied. We train very hard. I train 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, sometimes up to 8 hours a day. There's a lot of training that goes into it. Yes, there's a risk, but there's just as much of a risk, in my opinion, of getting my car and driving, other than when I'm driving my car, I'm not in control of those around me. When I'm on a wire, I'm in control of what I'm doing. So I do, you know, that is a question that I get, of course. And I that's my answer to it, is I don't feel that I am testing God. I say that God, let you have the glory out of what I'm doing, but I don't ever say, God, keep me on this wire. It's not as though I expect God to keep me on the wire. I expect God to fulfill his word.
Great stinking answer. Absolutely fantastic. Because you were being interviewed while you were crossing the wire, and I thought, first of all, I thought that was nuts. I'd be like, guys, shut up. I'm busy here. But you were being interviewed, the media talking to you, blah, blah, blah. Your dad was in your ear, et cetera. But when you started walking across, like when you started, you were doing a fair bit of praise Jesus, thank you God stuff, you know, as you're starting.
You know, absolutely. I mean, I that's where I find my peace. People ask, how do you stay peaceful and calm? Do you meditate? Do you do yoga? And I'd always tell them, I praise my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that's how I stay calm. And sometimes I'll sing worship songs, or sometimes I'll talk to him. The truth is, I had no idea my mic was hot. Not that I'm ashamed of the gospel whatsoever, but I didn't know my mic was hot when I was doing that. That's just me. That's what I do, and that's how I stay calm and relaxed. Again, just praising him for that. And a lot of that was just that amazing creation of Niagara Falls. It's just so breathtaking. And to have the opportunity to be the only person in the world to be in that spot, it's pretty amazing. And without God, to me, I don't think I would have been there. I believe in that trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings. And I'm not an over-religious person. I'm not one of those wacko Christians, which I hope I'm not going to get shut off right now for saying this. But
not on my show.
I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that he died on the cross for my sins. And I try to represent him the best I can. But again, I make mistakes. I screw up. I'm just as real as anyone else. I'm happy.
Dude, this is so good. Folks, on the phone with Nick. I just called you dude. Sorry, Nick.
he usually calls you buddy.
Yeah, hey, buddy. Nick Walenda on the phone with us. You know him as the guy that walked across Niagara Falls, but he's a heck of a lot more than that. Weird question. Forgive me for asking this, but when you're walking across Niagara Falls, maybe you didn't time the liquid intake properly. I would imagine that it would be okay for you to just pee. Can you pee? Have you ever peed while you're walking across a tightrope?
I haven't, but another interesting story. You know, 200 years in the family, there's a million of them. But my great-grandfather Carl was walking across, and he used to take reporters up on the wire with him 30 feet up. See, you know, if it was a cute girl, he was very much a ladies' man. And he would have her sit on his shoulders and walk her across the wire. And halfway across, she did pee, and it rolled down.
No! Oh, that is just wrong. You know, he could have been sponsored by Depends back then.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, that's...
He was wire at 73, so maybe he should have been.
Oh, man. Okay, well, listen, speaking of your great-grandfather, I want to play a clip that I found, which is old. This isn't... And if you don't mind, I'm not trying to be macabre about this. It's just, for me, it's just so weird to have you on the phone with us with this clip. I want your reaction to this clip. You've probably seen it. It's in your archives or whatever, but I want our listeners to hear this as well. Just bear with us for a sec, Nick. We're going to play this clip. This is from the day that your great-grandfather passed.
Best known circus performer fell to his death today doing an outdoor stunt in Puerto Rico. For that, here's James Walker.
The only place I feel alive, said Carl Walenda, is on the wire. And there he was this morning, 73 years old, 120 feet in the air, 10 stories above San Juan, performing as he had for 58 years. The idea was to promote a circus act he was performing with his granddaughter. So, a high wire walk across the street from one beachfront hotel to another. But as he reached halfway, the ocean wind suddenly picked up, gusting to 30 knots. And Carl Walenda, the best man in the world on a high wire, fought for his balance.
And he's struggling on the wire and falls. This is just a shocker of a video, but the commentary continues here. Have a listen, folks.
200 people saw Walenda fall. Many rushed to help, but it was too late. Walenda's body had struck a parked taxi. He was dead on arrival at the hospital.
The crowds are gathering around.
Carl Walenda and his family came to the United States from Germany in 1936, brought here by John Ringling and the Ringling Brothers and Martin and Bailey Circus, which was their home for the next 18 years. It was a family act, but Father Carl was the star. Frequently, he appeared alone, like in this stunt, when he walked across an 1,100-foot cable strung 700 feet above the Tallulah Gorge in Georgia. He was so supremely confident that he did it, wearing a microphone to narrate his own crossing.
Listen to this.
It's a little windy now.
This is the voice of Carl.
More wind than I expected. God is with me.
God is with me.
I believe everything will be all right.
Carl Walenda is the fifth member of the family to die while walking the high wire, the latest in a series of tragedies that began in 1962 with the seven-man pyramid, developed and perfected by Father Carl. During a Detroit appearance, the pyramid collapsed. Two family members fell 40 feet to their death. Carl's son Mario was permanently paralyzed. And Carl Walenda did not escape untouched. He suffered a broken pelvis and a double hernia. but he always returned to the ring and his high wire. This afternoon, Carl Willenda said that despite his uncle's death, the act will go on. James Walker, ABC News.
Wow. That is some old, old footage. I'm sure you've seen that before, Nick?
I have, yes.
And, you know, the thing that struck me, well, there's a number of things that struck me about that, but first of all, you know, what your great-grandfather was saying as he was crossing, you know, God is with me, I believe everything will be all right. And then, you know, I'm sure he had that mindset every time he went on the high wire, but of course, the one time that he fell to his death, you know, he said it, I'm sure he was thinking it before then. So what are your thoughts about that? God's with me, everything's going to be all right, and yet he fell to his death.
Well, the truth is, God is with me, and everything is going to be all right. And if I die, I know where I'm going when I die.
Great answer.
Everything will be better there. So, you know, again, I don't in any way test God and think that God holds me on that wire. In no way do I feel that, you know, that I'm being held up there. Absolutely not. That has to do with my training and my ability and the gift and the talents God has given.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think, you know, from hearing, of course, he fell and died in 1978, as you just heard, a year before I was born. But I don't think he had quite the relationship with God or the understanding that I do. But I could be judgmental, too. And he might have thought that, to be honest. You know, I had the honor of going back and recreating that last year and walked between those exact same two buildings in the exact spot where I knelt down and blew a kiss up to him from the middle of the wire right where he fell.
Wow.
My mom was on that wire with me. She sat on the wire. I stepped over, and we both walked into the other side.
Amazing stuff. I mean, what are you afraid of, Nick? What is Nick Willenda afraid of?
I always say I have a fear of God, and that's about it.
Wow.
You know, and then that's really true. There's not a whole lot that I'm afraid of. But to be honest, it's not as though I get on a cable like Niagara Falls that I get on there and go, you know, like, oh, here we go,
yes.
Just another day of job.
Yeah.
No, there's imminent danger there. There's a risk. I could lose my life. I do give my children a hug and a kiss before I get on that wire because it could be the last time I see them. Yes, I train hard, but accidents happen no matter what line of work, whether you're working in a mill making machinery or you're walking on a wire. The accidents do happen. That's why it's so important that we kiss our children goodnight and spend as much time as we can, quality time with our children. We learned that yesterday here in the U.S. with that massacre that happened in that elementary school.
Yeah. No, I can't even deal with that today on the show. Can't even talk about
it. No, it's rough.
Okay. Have you and Felix Baumgartner gone out and had a pint?
We haven't, although I did some of the commentating. I was CNN's commentator for that event, actually. I have not been able to meet him yet, but I look forward to the day, and I'm sure it will come. I will be able to meet him.
Do you think you could do what he did?
You know, I think he's an amazing person and very daring. To be honest, I think you could do what he did.
Right.
I think you could walk over Niagara Falls, too, if you set your mind to it. But, you know, he went up into space, which takes a lot of guts, I guess, to say it politically correct. And fell for 10 minutes and pulled a parachute that was self-deploying. If he passed out, he couldn't even. He would have landed on his feet.
Yeah.
You know, there's backup, and that's what people don't realize. There's so much technology and research that goes into the stuff that we do that, again, you know, something like that. He had a backup to his backup to his backup. It's a complete redundant system whenever he, you know, you do things like that.
Yeah.
So would I recreate that? I don't know. It's not really my style. I do plan on going to the moon at one point to do a stunt, though. It's something in my to-do list, that's for sure.
Can you imagine doing a tightrope walk on the moon? I don't know if that counts because you're floating sort of, but anyway.
Look. No, it's true. Well, if I could walk under it, I think it would be pretty awesome.
Totally. Nick Willenda, thank you very, very much for giving us the time you've given us today. N-I-K Willenda, W-A-L-L-E-N-D-A, nickwillenda.com. Follow him. The guy has a heart that I find very intriguing. And, you know, thank you for being... thank you for being a new hero. It's about time we had someone to look up to like you, Nick. And I know that comes with a bit of, look, I know you're humble about it and you're not, you know, you're not an arrogant jerk about it. And we're not putting you on some kind of weird platform that you shouldn't be on. But this generation needs a man of integrity like yourself, and I sure hope you are, to be our hero, to be a new hero for the kids. Good for you, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great to chat, Nick. Take care.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Nick Willenda on The Drew Marshall Show. Stay with us.
You look marvelous. Doorbell rings, men at the door says if I want to stay alive a bit longer.